Hello, my name is Chris. I'm 17 years old. Today is December 9th, 2018. I'm speaking with Brian Anderson, who is my father. We're in the city of Santa Cruz and in the state of California. So first off, I would like to ask, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what were you like as a child?
San Mateo, California, which is in the Bay Area. And a little bit about my childhood. Grew up in a typical middle class neighborhood. And my school was within, my elementary school was like within walking distance, about two blocks away. And majority of my friends when in my childhood were, we all lived on the same block and we all played out on the street, on Magnolia Street. For the most part, it was a very typical middle class upbringing. What was I like as a child? I was a much more reserved, quiet, shy. It a lot of times was taken as being, the word's escaping me at the moment, but I grew up, my younger brother is special needs, mentally disabled. So my childhood was a little bit different in that a lot of things from what kind of meals we ate, our diet, to activities, all were affected by what he could do or what he could eat and so forth. Long story short, you know, what was I like as a child? I was a little more reserved, but I also was required to be a little more mature because you had to have a lot of patience with someone with special needs. There wasn't a lot of tolerance from my parents for not being patient with my brother, Michael. And it just, I guess for many reasons, I wasn't a child as long as I think a lot of other kids were allowed to be.
Now, with you being reserved and quiet, a bit more mature since with your family upbringing and your brother, can you tell me about a teacher or other adult that had a big impact on your life while you were growing up in San Mateo?
One person that had, I had one teacher that I mean that I really. That I remember, if we're talking about teachers, her name was Miss Boyajian, and I think it was mainly because she had high expectations, but she was very patient. I think she for whatever reason back then, she gave me a little extra special attention on my academics to help me out. I didn't exactly understand things in the same pace as everybody else. So it was always a little bit more of a challenge to grasp concepts that were being taught. But that was my fourth grade teacher. As far as an adult, you know, obviously my parents stand out. They're big influences in my life. Outside of my parents was my great uncle, Ed. He was a lieutenant colonel for the Air Force, worked out at Moffett. And he had, you know, a son of his own, but he spent, he would reach out and spend time with me and would take me fishing. He had a boat, he would take me fishing on a regular basis and just always gave that extra attention to doing something. He loved soccer, so we always talked about soccer, and he would take me fishing. And at the end of the time he'd take me out fishing, he would always stop and pick something up for Michael. because obviously Michael wasn't interested in fishing and being stuck in a boat all day. But he would never forget Michael at the end of the day. And he was just a very kind, low-key, funny, always had something to talk about, and just accepted everybody around him for who they were. And didn't forget anybody. He always gave everybody attention. And I guess it's just that kindness in his, you know, his history. He was German, a German immigrant in San Francisco when World War II broke out. And he found a way to serve our country and become, get an education and be successful with that.
Nice.
Stigma.
Yeah. How did that make you feel when you were young, being able to go out and fishing and how I never forgot anyone? Like, in one word, how did that make you feel?
One word would be tough.
One or two.
Accepted, recognized.
Cool. What advice would you give your teenage self back in the day?
Be more fearless.
Take more risks.
Take more risks.
In what way? Like sports or with people or?
Sports with relationships. With trying new things.
Definitely. Can you tell me about one of your happiest memories? Any point in your life?
There's many. I've had a blessed life. If we're talking about,
just think about like your top three happiest memories.
So let's break it down to like my childhood. Some of the happiest memories was going up to my Uncle Dean in Oregon. He had a small farm ranch up there. And it was being able to go fishing with him and hanging out on his little ranch in Oregon. As a teenager, some of my happiest, or as a young adult, some of my happiest memories were my college experience, from not liking school to loving the educational experience by the end of it, and all the people I got to meet during that time, the relationships I developed. And then as an adult, some of my happiest memories are my two boys, Jake and Chris, and the life that I was able to make with Christy, my wife.
Awesome. Cool. Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned in your young life so far?
Some of the most important lessons. Being patient with people and understanding that you need to put yourself in as much as can in other people's shoes so you can understand what their perspectives are, and being open to them. And that probably the biggest thing is attitude. Your attitude will affect everything. It's probably the biggest lesson that I've learned. So if you could even be quiet and silent and not talk to anybody all day long, and if you had a poor attitude, people would have a poor perception of you. If you have a good attitude and you're positive and happy and you can say nothing all day long, people will actually walk away with a positive perception of you. And so attitude is a very, very powerful thing, and I think that's probably the biggest lesson that I have learned is it is amazing that just the attitude you have, the outward perception that you have from inside out, has such a powerful effect on your relationships with people, your interactions with people, and how you approach things. And it covers everything from being asked to do something. And if you just have a positive attitude, it could be a really horrible thing that you have to go do, and you just really don't want to do it, but if you have a positive attitude about it, it actually seems to be easier to get done, and gets done faster. So I think the biggest thing that I've learned is attitude, and it ties back to my childhood of having a positive attitude and being fearless and trying new things, along with the biggest thing is an adult learning that attitude is everything, and how you approach life from inside out, with your attitude affects everything.
So do you think you've learned this important lesson of attitude from just your whole life experience of meeting people and your careers and what you've been through so far?
Yes. Obviously, my career and leading up to it has been a lot with dealing with people, and my career has led me down a path of having to deal and talk with and convince people to tell me things they don't want to tell me, but also to get people to be comfortable enough to speak with me. And coming into very volatile situations, or situations that are already volatile, and once again, it's all about what your attitude is. If you have a positive, open attitude, it affects every situation. Not only in how you deal with it, in your tone of voice, and your mannerisms and everything, but it's just also something about human beings. They pick up on other people's attitude and what kind of perception they're putting out there. And the more of a positive one that you have, the more positive results you're going to get.
That's cool. Cool. Interesting. Is there anything you would like to tell me now that you've never told me before? Difficult question.
A lot of things that, you know, I've said.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe saying something different than what I've and how I've said it before, is, you know, attitude. We recently had a discussion about the old story of the white wolf and the black wolf, and that's all about attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can tell you as a young man, it's a challenge, which one, because emotions and feelings are powerful. And you can use those things for positive if you have the right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily about, it's about choosing to have a positive attitude. It's about choosing one of your sayings is, I belong. Well, that's a positive attitude. And it's whatever you need to do, key words, sayings, mental pictures, I would say whatever puts you in a place of having a positive attitude to accomplish things, to be open to other people, and humor. I've never been really good at humor and jokes, but I have found that it's probably because I haven't focused enough on my attitude to just be humorous. Mm-hmm. And I think in my experiences, what I've seen is don't be afraid to be humorous, even in some of the most awkward situations or situations that may be heading towards violence or confrontation. Don't be afraid to be humorous.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, that all comes down to attitude.
Mm-hmm. How would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as a kind man who paid attention to the people around him and loved his family, valued his friends, and I think that's probably what matters the most.
Cool. I agree, yeah. Do you have any regrets?
I honestly believe I've lived a blessed life up to this point. We all have our own journey to walk. We all have our own things to learn. So I don't necessarily have regrets, but I guess maybe a regret would be not learning some of the stuff that I have learned in life sooner.
Mm-hmm. Any funny regrets when you were young? Any funny stories, embarrassing stories that you could regret?
If there were going to be regrets, I don't know if I want to share any specific story. But I can tell you that if I ever go down the path of regrets, which once again isn't a positive attitude to take, but if I go down that darker path, it would be the stupid stuff that I've done or I've said with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
She's my best friend, and you choose to spend a life with somebody, and they put up with all your crap. When you go down that dark path, you can regret some of the stupid stuff that you've said or done.
Yeah. Tell me how you would like people to remember you. Did I already ask that?
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. You got answered that one. So this is a bit of a family facts, family oriented question.
Mm-hmm.
Where were our ancestors born, and when did they arrive to the U.S., if you have that knowledge?
Well, I have what's been passed down to me. And so I guess it would be interesting to try Ancestry, .com or whatever, or answer the DNA,
mm-hmm.
to find out if the family stories are true. So I'll start with my mom's side, your grandmother's side.
Mm-hmm.
Last name Getz. The family story is it was changed from Getz to Getts when they came across the pond from Germany. Your great-grandfather and my grandfather was orphaned in West Virginia along with his older brother. They moved they traveled to Tennessee to visit family there, and then the older brother spent all the money, and this is your great-great-grandfather, sorry, not your great-grandfather, my great-grandfather, your great-great.
Mm-hmm.
They were orphaned in West Virginia, Tennessee, and then your great-great-grandfather came out via wagon train to San Francisco, where he became a teamster and made deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
In delivery of goods in San Francisco with a horse and buggy. Well, so survived the 1906 earthquake. Then your great-grandfather, my grandfather, was born, and he put him through Berkeley. And your grandfather then worked for the city and county of San Francisco as an engineer. Mm-hmm. And worked on all the great projects, the Golden Gate Bridge, Bay Bridge, the Hetch Hetchy, Cherry Dam,
mm-hmm.
All the things that made San Francisco great. Your great-grandmother on my mom's side, last of Colin, so Irish,
mm-hmm.
she had 12 other... Was that her father had, her father came over from Ireland and had 11 other brothers come over. And so obviously Irish, German Irish from mom's side. And so your great grandmother's father was, he worked, it was, I guess he called metal etching.
Mm-hmm.
So early photographs had the acid metal etching of the negatives.
Uh-huh.
And then it moved on from there. On my father's side, your great-grandfather, last of Anderson, he was a prospector and lived in Nevada. So he was prospecting, obviously, precious metals, and that's the pretty much the line of work. I don't know a lot about what kind of work he did, and I don't have a lot of information from his side, other than we had relatives in the lumber industry in Weed and Redding, California, and a distant relative associated with your great-grandfather on my father's side in Sacramento, writing for the Sacramento Bee and owning a hotel in Sacramento. On your great-grandmother's side, on my father's side, always called her Nana. Last of Garmin, and I don't have a lot of history other than what was told by my aunt, your grandfather's sister, your great-aunt, great-aunt, that we were Scottish. And she evidently did research before the whole DNA thing, and she basically said that she was able to trace the Anderson family name back to Scotland, and that one of our very distant relatives was a politician in Scotland in Parliament.
Mm.
Whether all that was accurate or not, I don't know. Your great aunt obviously grew up in San Francisco with your grandfather, my father. Both my mother and father, your grandmother and grandfather grew up in San Francisco. They're San Francisco natives. his sister, Aunt Ray, married a wealthy gentleman from very old money on the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
And moved out there. And then your grandmother and grandfather met on a blind date.
Didn't know that.
Before your grandfather enlisted in the military, the Army, during Vietnam, to get out of, it wasn't a very positive family situation for him, and so he wanted a way out after he graduated from high school, and so he enlisted in the Army. Was sent to North Korea before it became a civilized country. It was still very a third world country, in a demilitarized zone, where he was a canine handler for a while, did guard post, laid communication wire, and laying communication wire is where he ended up getting shot because he was in the DMZ zone, got shot in the leg, and officially never happened. So for 6 months, his family and my and your grandmother never had no communication with him, no idea what had happened or what was going on because he was recovering in the hospital, and because it never officially happened, he couldn't talk or communicate with anybody.
That's scary.
Your grandmother, she did attend Davis for a short time, I think about 2 years, before she decided to leave college because she wanted to start a family with your grandfather. She did do some work, I guess a little bit ironic, early research into chemotherapy. As a lab assistant before she settled down to become a mom. It was ironic because she ended up with ovarian cancer that went to her brain, a brain cancer, and she ended up receiving the same chemotherapy drug that she had contributed or assisted on the research in its early days. Your grandmother married my grandfather in 67, and in 70 they had me. So I guess for family history, about as far back as we can go is your great-great grandfather. You had Uncle Ed, who married one of your great grandmother's sisters. This is on your mother's side, on your grandmother's side, my mom's side. And so that's how Uncle Ed, or great Uncle Ed to me, came into the family. And he served in World War II along with the other sisters of your great grandmother. His name's escaping me at the moment. I can picture him, but he served in the Navy and actually was a school teacher after World War II. Your great-grandfather couldn't serve because he had flat feet. He went to enlist and they wouldn't, they DQ'd him, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
So he wasn't able to serve. The interesting thing about your great-grandfather was that he had a superbly high IQ, and the name of the scientist is just, once again, escaping me. I have it written down in a couple letters of correspondence between your great-grandfather and this scientist who actually worked out of Stanford. He had the thesis, or he believed that those with super high IQs would be the people that would lead our country or be leaders in the world and be phenomenally successful. I'm sort of bastardizing very basically what his thesis was. So he tracked people throughout a whole nation with government funding that had super high IQs and tracked their progress through their life.
Mm-hmm.
And your great-grandfather was one of those.
Cool.
And so that it's interesting because then that scientist and so forth, which comes into some of our darker times in the history of our country, had connections with eugenics and all the other stuff. And it's just really weird how the degrees of separation are very small when it comes to the greater world
mm-hmm.
around us.
Mm-hmm.
Who's connected to who and how and different relationships.
Interesting. So really quick answer. What do you see as your family's legacy?
Love for family is what I'd like to see. Our family's a little small right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm hoping that I see our family grow and expand. Other than love for family, which I think should be probably the most important, is service to the community around us.
Mm-hmm.
I take obviously a lot of pride in your great grandfather, my grandfather, and working for the city and county of San Francisco and all the major projects that he did and used his brains for that. And your grandfather and my father with the fire service, your grandmother with her service towards nonprofit, probably more years volunteering, trying to save the world through denuclearization.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did working for a paycheck,
mm-hmm.
Very passionate. Passionate pacifist.
Yeah.
but her service was to the community, to the greater good. And so I guess I would like to see our family's legacy continuing that no matter what people, what you and Jake choose or grandkids or great-grandkids choose, but that there's an idea of trying to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Thank you so much for spending time to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about life and family. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.